Drive Time on RTE Radio 1 with National Irish Bank. The bank that brought Danske Bank's international expertise to Ireland is now bringing the Danske Bank name.
Seven with me in studio are personal finance experts back for their regular Talking Money segment, Jill Kirby and Carl Dieter of Irish Mortgage Brokers and Advisors.ie. And this week you're looking at stockbrokers and what they charge and whether or not we should trust their advice. And Carl, I'm going to start with you. Why do you think this matters to people listening?
Well, if you've got money saved that's not in a deposit account or you have a pension, then whether you know it or not, you're normally investing in the stock market. And markets have been broadly up since 2009. And that has a lot of people asking questions. Oh, should I buy, you know, a bank share, for instance? And it's something that I'm worried about because I get asked this kind of more regularly than I think is healthy. So you need to realize the importance of the stock market, A, is a lot of people are invested in it, but then to start to say, how is it good value? How is it not good value? Because when you buy a stock, you're actually buying the company. Like in investment, you normally have two broad types of things. You've got debt, which is things like the bond market, and then you've got equity, which is shares. Everything else is classified as alternative investments. Now, when money changes hands in the world of finance, it doesn't matter how it does it, but somebody somewhere makes a cut. And that's actually how the whole system works. And so we wanted to look at what some of the costs are and to break those costs down so that people can compare like for like. Because if you buy a share of Apple, the cost of the share might be set. But depending on who you go through, it could be vastly different. So Jill got some of those costs.
Yeah, that's right. We decided to break them down into not just the commissions that people pay. People are kind of aware of there's a stockbroking commission usually when you call and want to order a certain amount of shares in a particular company. But there's let's start then with the execution fee to begin with. And that's the fee for the advisor placing your order. It usually, if people do it over the phone and on an execution-only basis, there's usually a minimum charge. Now, the bigger stockbrokers, and you know, I'm kind of reluctant to keep naming all these different companies because there's a lot of them. I'm not going to name them all tonight. So please bear with me, stockbrokers out there, if your company doesn't get named or if it does get named. But we know who the big ones are. There's Davies and there's Goodbodies and there's Marion Stockbrokers and others. But I started to go through kind of lists of them, and I came across minimum charges, a minimum charge for that kind of an execution fee as little as 40 quid for one of the bigger ones, but one of the smaller big ones, that's Campbell O'Connor, and they can be as high as 100 quid minimum at a company like Goodbodies. So depending on the broker, you could pay that kind of amount. And or there's a commission fee. And the commissions tend to be pretty much the same amongst most of them. They could be a little bit different, but they're as high as 1.65% up to share values of about 15,000 euros, share trades of that much. So that's a lot. So it's either going to be that amount or it's going to be a minimum of 100 quid in certain cases. So you have to be aware of that. Then it falls then, the charges will fall to say 1% if you're buying, say, over 30,000. And then it falls to about 0.5% commission. So the higher the value of the shares that you buy, the lower the overall commission will be. But there's also, and I'll try and go through these more quickly, there's an annual account maintenance fee. So if you've opened an account with them, and this is for them to give you some advice to actually, you know, direct your buying and selling, it's typically 80 to 100 quid. It can be as much as that one, but it can be lower, and I'll get onto that.
Actually, the maintenance is just for having the account.
Yes.
The advice normally gets charged again on top of that.
Indeed. And so that's in addition to it. Then there's management fees. This is the fee you pay for a stockbroker managing your money, if that's the kind of account that you have. And that can be very expensive. That's up to 0.75% of the entire value of your portfolio. So if you give them a couple hundred thousand quid and they are making discretionary sales and purchases and whatever, you're going to be paying quite a lot. Mm-hmm. But there can be a standing fee on top of that of between 400 and 650 quid, plus all those commissions I've mentioned. Then there's, now these are kind of sneaky ones, aren't they, Carl? They're overseas fees, and they're charges for if you buy stocks and shares, which a lot of Irish people do outside of the state. They're the UK and the States, and they can be typically an extra a lump sum of 50 euros, or they can be a percentage of, again, the value of the trade. So it can be 1.5% extra.
Those fees have largely come down. I mean, exchanges will always charge a stockbroker for accessing them, and so there is a fee in there somewhere. But if those prices have come down, down and the prices that people are being charged have remained stagnant, then the difference between the two represents another area where the person selling it can make an income.
But just to continue, there's also, what's another one? Yeah, the account maintenance charges for, it's an account maintenance charge for foreign custody transaction charges, transactions. And that could be 25 quid per trade outside of Ireland. There's also ETFs are, a terrific way of buying shares. They're pooled funds, exchange-traded funds. They trade as one share so that you're not having 20 different share costs. But the brokers can also throw on a management fee in addition to the management fees, which are very, very low for ETFs. So they might get you that way. And then let's not forget, you're also going to be paying things like government stamp duty. Nobody can get away with that, but it's 1% on Irish shares, 0.5% on UK shares. And if you are trading very small, or if you're buying very small amounts of shares, like 1,000 quid, even just having that 100 euro minimum, okay, is like a 10% charge for buying 1,000 quid's worth of shares. It's really crazy. So you have to be very, very
conscious. Any way to avoid the charges, Carl?
Well, I suppose it's like anything. If there's a competitive market out there and you choose to buy at the most expensive place, then you'll pay the highest price. And that goes for whether you're buying petrol or bananas. It's not only limited to stocks. So one place that we did find was a company called Somerville Advisory Markets, and they have their fee structure is 0.15%, and that's for pretty much everything.
Okay.
And that makes it very, very inexpensive, and they don't have any sneaky add-ons on top of that. So if you look at another company like TD Direct, who are very competitive as well, they have a 20 euro fee for a trade, and that seems very low. But then, for instance, up to 25,000 sterling, they have an FX fee, and Irish people are generally buying in London and US markets. Mm-hmm. So if they're charging 2% there, but the clearing bank, Saxo, is only charging them 0.5%, because in this case, actually, Somerville and TD Direct both use the same clearing bank, then they're making an extra 1.5% commission in there. And this is the issue. People in finance sometimes get paid in really weird ways. So like, say when you show up to work, or most people when they show up to work, they get paid and it's based on their hours or their salary or something that's fairly straightforward. Mm-hmm. But in the money business, you can be paid directly in a fee. So we would quite often, as an advisor myself, charge someone a fee for something. Or you might be getting portions of commission that are trailers. In other words, things that are coming back to you every year. You could get commission up front from the products that you sell. And it's really, this mixture makes it very difficult to gauge value. But you can still do it by looking at what the overall costs are and by shopping around. And particularly in stocks, where it's not as if one person has like a special group of Ryanair shares. They don't. They're all common to each other. So you can make a comparison. And that's really important, is don't let inertia be the thing that makes you less well off.
It's a little more complicated than that, though, in the sense that while there's some very high fees if you're dealing directly with the stockbrokers themselves, they also have an online service, which isn't as cheap as Somerville, but is cheaper than calling them up on the phone. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really important that people realize that, you know, there's at least two or three different ways of buying these shares. And a lot of it has to do with how confident you are in actually researching the information yourself and being aware of the risks that you're taking, sussing out all of the different charges. And while they try to make, some of them are better at making that obvious on their websites, exactly what our prices are, some of them aren't. And you really have to start digging in. It can be very complicated. So it's the sort of thing that, you know, in terms of the shopping around, there's a lot to look for if you are looking for good value.
It can also be a little nuanced, because like when we're talking about these really cheap choices, I should explain, execution only means you walk in and you say, this is what I want. I don't want any advice. That's what I'm buying. So it'd be like walking into an electrics shop and say, I want that microwave. No two ways about it. But if you want the salesperson to explain the difference between the microwaves, which one is good for whatever choice you happen to want it for, well, then that's the same as getting a broker to talk you through a transaction.
And if you do it online, it's cheaper again.
Yeah, but you do pay for that. And you probably should. But you've got to make sure that when you are paying for it, that you gauge that cost and that you have some way to measure it against someone else. And you can do that easily by shopping around. Now, the other thing is a lot of people go out and buy stocks that they have no business doing, because they really, like, they look at the newspaper and they say, oh, look, AIB shares are up. Should I buy those? Like, AIB is so thinly traded. In other words, there's such a small portion that is actually on the market, because most of it is in government hands, that when that share price moves, it tells you almost nothing. And yet it's still reported in the papers because it's, you know, one of our pillars.
It's doubled in price, but it's gone from pennies to more pennies.
Yeah.
You know?
And this is one of the reasons why we're talking about this, is you've got people calling up saying, oh, should I buy Irish bank shares? And they really have no perception of the risk. And so the cost that we're kind of bemoaning in this, I would hope that in some of the advice that is being given out and that people are paying for, that they're hearing this kind of message.
Just to wrap up my feelings about all of this, it's that there's nothing wrong with buying stocks and shares, again, if you understand what you're doing. But if you think that's the place where your money should be because, you know, your deposit returns are so poor at the moment, then I think the better way of approaching this is to go to somebody else who can talk you through all the different choices you could be making with your money, and not just stocks and shares. And that means an independent, impartial, ideally fee-based advisor. I'm not big on commissions of any kind. And somebody who is not motivated to finding capital for a company, which is what the role of a stockbroker is, to try and help companies raise money for themselves, mm-hmm. and to find people who are willing, you know, to buy that sliver of the company themselves and maybe make a return. But I'm afraid stockbrokers, in my opinion, their main urge in this world is to make commissions on the sales transactions. They're in it for the money. My feeling is a good independent financial advisor is there, yes, to make money, but to certainly make sure that you're in the right place to make money.
I think in the money business, we're all in it for the money.
Absolutely.
And I think that's something that just can't be repeated enough. So always be aware of that. But I forgot to mention the bit where we're going to tell you to write something down.
Oh, yeah.
Get your pencil, your pen, a piece of paper. This is the most important thing I can say when it comes to stocks. You've got to watch out for the charges. You've got to watch out for the transaction costs. Those are hugely important things. But also, if you're clueless, pay someone for the advice. Because the amount of times I've heard someone say, oh yeah, I bought a load of Aircom shares and I got wiped. Like, that is what's known as concentration risk. The other week when we were talking about buy-to-let, and Jill said, don't put all your money into a buy-to-let, I was arguing the same point. Anytime you put everything into one basket, you're making a risk by putting it in one place. If that one thing goes wrong. So watch out for those risks, be aware of them, pay for advice if you don't know what you're doing, and then watch out the costs. And largely, you should see that things work out in line with whatever your investment approach was.
We'll talk to you both again next week. Thank you very much indeed, Carl Dieter and Jill Kirby.